Amanda Cohen feels comedians are having a hard time dealing with the current political situation because this administration is already a joke, and it's hard to find a new twist to the humor.
If we can't joke about politics, you can always laugh about silly umlauts or their gross-sounding doppelgangers, DREs. Today, Amanda reveals to us that she was invited to attend the series finale for the TV show What Not to Wear in Las Vegas, and what her video message was for the hosts Stacey and Clinton.
Plus, Germany tells parents to throw out their kids' My Friend Kayla doll because it could be spying on them.
A new study says that if you say, I have black friends, you won't appear as hateful when you say racist things.
And a shout out to hunky college football player Connor Cox, who got a very special care package from his mom. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Right now, you have Feast of Fun in your ears because for the last 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth programming. If you like the show, please make a donation at feastoffun.com/donate. And if you didn't like the show, make a donation anyway to help us improve.
Hold on, let me play it again. So these are some screaming ducks. It's a screaming duck toy, right?
Chickens, Henrietta chickens, right? Or are these ducks?
No, these are ducks, yeah.
But they just have such a distinctive sound when the bunch of them are yelling. It just sounds like all these guys going,
ah! Kind of like our collective scream under the Trump administration. Our guest today is Amanda Cohen, stand-up comedian, comedy nerd.
Hi.
Who is not your mother, so don't ask her.
I'm not.
Not the mama.
Nobody's
mama. To pick up after you.
That's right. I'm not the mama, just like on Dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. But one of your comedian friends made a joke on Facebook about it.
Yeah, that was probably Adam. Adam is roughly half my age and kind of looks like me. It's a Jew thing. You wouldn't understand. So our joke has been that I'm his mom, and when I see him at a club, I go, hey, mom, and I go, hey, son, and then that's it. That's the extent of it.
Oh, so you are feeling a little motherly.
No, not even a little. It's a joke.
And he said, come to me, son.
No.
I love you.
But I will tell you one funny thing that did happen. I was at a restaurant that has a comedy show underneath it in the basement.
Mm-hmm. Where it should be.
Bite me. And, although, to be fair, to honestly, though, a good low ceiling is good for comedy.
Is it?
Yeah. High ceiling eats the laughs, and you need a nice low.
It's an intimate space.
Even if it's like wide and deep, it needs to be short. It needs to be short ceilings.
And then the comedian seems bigger because they're not like swallowed by this big giant stage.
Right. You're not. Yeah, exactly.
Amanda, you're.
Wait, I didn't get to finish the story. So,
pay attention,
dude, I was at this restaurant. I got there early because I do. And I ordered some food, and my buddy Adam showed up a little bit later, and you know, just so he sees me, I'm a comedian, he sits with me, and the waitress comes up and goes, how did she word it? She's like, so you guys are together, right? Which means she was either assuming we were dating or that I was his mom.
Mm-hmm,
and neither of those alternatives was good.
We are sitting together, yes.
Yes. And then the funny part is that he ordered something and then he didn't have any cash. He tried to pay with a credit card and they said, oh, that's not our minimum for credit card. So I ended up paying for it anyway.
Such a good mom.
Shut the fuck up.
Did he pay you back?
He did, yeah.
Okay.
But it was just...
So does he usually like ask to borrow $20?
No, nothing like that. By the way, all servers ever never assume anything.
Oh no, it will get you in lots and lots
never
of trouble.
Assume.
Yeah. Never. I worked in a restaurant once, and this guy came in with his wife one day, and one of the waitresses, it was the hostess, came up to him. He's like, "Oh, hi, sir. Here's your umbrella that you left here yesterday." And she said hi to the woman too. And so the woman took the umbrella and started beating him with it. Like, "You motherfucker!
Yep.
You came here yesterday. Could you imagine? He took his mistress to the same restaurant the next day as his wife."
Well, that's poor planning.
Mm-hmm.
That's sitcom level poor planning. Right.
And he left his umbrella behind in the restaurant, and then he got caught.
Yeah, yeah. And so I wonder if he wanted to on some level. But that was a lesson that I learned very early on in life. So when I worked in the restaurant business, I never did those kinds of things and reference things about stuff because I was just like, you just never know.
Right. Yeah.
And even sometimes like people will joke about mom and son and then you're like, and that would piss you off, right?
Well,
if you went back to the club that you performed at and they were like, oh, how's your son? You know, you're like, he's not my son.
That's why I'm very clear. It is a joke. It is mostly between the two of us and nobody else cares and nobody else should. I'm nobody's mom.
So why did you give him power of attorney?
You know, people just always like assume that Fausto and I are brothers for some reason.
Brothers.
Usually not in Chicago, but like we'll be in other places, like in Austin, Texas, and people will pull up.
And they'll be just like,
"Are you guys twins?" And then we're like, "Yeah." And then we start making out, and then they're like, "Oh,
that's gross."
I can only fall in love with my own brother.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's called genetic attraction.
Ultimately, the best love affair is to love yourself. After that is loving your twin.
That's called old married couple starting to look alike.
It's called harmonization. There's actually a term for it. Harmonization.
Okay, yes. that's fine. Speaking of Dan Harmon, oh my gosh, I finally finished Rick and Morty.
Yay!
I'm Mr. Meeseeks, look at me! Mr. Meeseeks, when's season 3 coming out? Can't do that!
Explain what Rick and Morty is for people that don't know what it is, because we have listeners out there that don't know.
It's a parody of it started out as a parody of Back to the Future, but ultimately it's a cartoon show that has a little bit of loose improvisation. A
little bit.
And it parodies a lot of sci-fi tropes the way Futurama did, only funnier.
So much better.
Yeah.
So much funnier. And don't get me wrong, love Futurama, always will. But Rick and Morty, just because it's more of an adult thing, it's dirtier. And, you know, they get away with certain language and some of it's bleeped and some of it isn't. But they get, in addition to the, it's kind of like Archer in that they'll be doing all these great spy things, but then they're also having these interpersonal squabbles.
With the family,
yeah. Right. So the family's having issues. Like the parents are always on the verge of getting divorced or whatever.
And it's an old scientist. His daughter is married to a doofus, and then it's the grandson.
The grandson
is
Morty.
But the grandson might also be the old man, right? Isn't that what the idea is? In a parallel universe, yes.
No.
So Rick and Morty, there's some fan theories here.
That's a bullshit fan theory. We've been to the dimension of all the Ricks and all the Mortys.
It hasn't been revealed yet in the series, but there is a lot of credibility to the theory that Morty and Rick are actually the same person in different timelines. But
I cannot believe that because one of them is smarter than the other. Every Rick needs a Morty
because to
mask the intelligence.
He's in under because Rick is so intelligent. And he's such an outlaw. In order to protect himself from the intergalactic police, he hangs out with his very stupid grandson, Morty, in order to mask his brainwaves.
Yes.
And his super intelligence comes from a fan theory is that he...
Those nuts that
they shove up his butt. Well, grandson's butt. Yeah.
Okay, that's not
they
the way you
nuts up his butt.
That's not the way you normally ingest them. It's just
the dick up there,
and that's why he's always drinking alcohol because alcohol masks the taste of the juice.
Right.
What?
Okay, and there's one episode.
What is going on here?
There's an episode. In fact, it's like a first.
It's the first episode.
In the pilot, is the first time you see Rick bring Morty on one of his weird adventures, and what he has to do is go to this alternate universe because it's all alternate universes where this one weird tree has this one giant nut that apparently a derivative of it makes you very, very smart. And it's illegal to take them out of the that universe,
the garden,
the universe, whatever. So he tells Morty he has to shove them up his butt. Now imagine like pine cones the size of coconuts. That's what they look like. And Morty has to shove two of them up his butt to get out of the universe with them. And they manage to get out of the universe, but then they start breaking down and they temporarily make Morty incredibly smart. The giveaway, to me anyway, is that he starts drooling the same green drool that Rick always has on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Rick always has his weird green.
So Rick has already taken these. So
the theory is, my theory is that the he's constantly on those little smart nuts.
Oh.
And alcohol helps one way or another. I don't know. It's like Bender. Bender has to have alcohol or he rusts.
Yeah.
Rick Sanchez has to have alcohol or he gets stupid. I don't know. Well,
that's so funny. My friend Spinny would say he'd never drink water because it would cause you, it would make you rust. Water rusts things, but he'd drink booze.
Amanda, like Rick and Morty, you're a person who's always seeking adventure.
I mean, that's
how we found you.
Yes.
Many, many years ago, I put an ad in Craigslist seeking big voiced, large chested, vivacious women for a Pee-wee's Playhouse inspired musical variety show. And you're the only person who responded to this.
Yes, I was. That's because back in the day, Craigslist was not completely populated by insane people. Then again.
Because it really changed?
Not really, now that I think of it.
No.
I don't know.
But your life is kind of like a real life Homer Simpson in the sense that you're a Jacqueline of all trades. You have many, many unusual jobs.
Are you comparing me to Homer Simpson?
Well, in The Simpsons, Homer always has a different career seems like every other episode.
They all fail.
Well, in some ways, you know.
Can't you compare me to Leela or something?
Sure, like Leela.
She does a lot of things.
Yeah.
So anyways, in one of the adventures that you've sort of found yourself lately is you become an escort.
Not like that.
Which is, I'm sure you're making a lot of money, but.
No, not like that.
What? Like what?
I'm a clinic escort.
Like a sex worker for doctors?
Oh, God. No. What I do is I stand outside women's health centers, which are being targeted by anti-choice protesters, and I help the women who are patients get inside without getting too harassed by the antis who are hell-bent on ruining women's lives.
So when they see you, they run the other way? Or
they smell you sometimes.
They too. Smell you.
Yeah, well, some mornings I get out there and I'm not clean.
So how do you protect the person who's getting the woman who's getting an abortion?
Well, first of all, we don't know that they're there to get abortions.
Okay, they're just there to get access health care.
Yeah, we don't know what they're there for because it's none of our goddamn business. However, the antis assume every woman going in the door is getting an abortion, and they assume that every man going in the door with a woman is the father, and they will scream. It's a lot of assumptions, and they will scream things at the women and the men. They'll tell the men, "Be a man! Don't let your woman go in there!" And they'll tell the women, "They just want your money. You're gonna die. You know, six women have died here. It's all lies. It is all bald-faced lies."
Are they effective ever?
Absolutely not.
No,
no. That's the funny thing. They think they are. Like, anytime a woman leaves the building, they think it's a win somehow, mm-hmm. even if she's, you know, been
she's
in there for 2 hours.
I'm just kidding. I'm terrible. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I apologize.
There are. You found the one thing that I know is not funny. To me. I mean, yes, okay. I'm sure it's very funny to somebody, but the idea of women suffering because they want abortions is not funny to me.
So under the Obama administration, let me give a quick primer on women's health care rights.
Yes, because I'm sure that all of your listeners aren't aware of any of this because it's all so very much in the news every fucking day.
I think this perspective might not necessarily make it to the news here. And I just want to quickly not assume that everybody is on the same page.
All right,
not
making assumptions. Not making assumptions.
No. Calm down, Amanda.
No. Go.
You're denying my access to talking about healthcare.
Fuck you. You sound like an anti. This is my free speech.
Under the Obama administration and because of the Affordable Health Care Act, known as Obamacare, people have had more access to health care in unprecedented numbers. And as a consequence, women.
The ACA mm-hmm. mandated coverage for birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And while there is, by law, no federal funding for abortions, the government has still been reimbursing some of the costs for Planned Parenthood, none of which is for abortions,
mm-hmm.
Because it provides a massive amount of health care for women all over the country.
And as a consequence, the number of abortions that occur in the United States has plummeted.
It is at the lowest level since before Roe v. Wade, which was 1973, which is when abortion became illegal across the country.
if you are a person who feels for whatever reason that terminating a pregnancy is ending a person's life,
then you wouldn't be listening to this show.
You would probably look for actual solutions that would dramatically reduce the number of abortions.
That's so cute of you.
And one of the consequences would be allowing women access to contraceptions, contraceptive care,
yep.
Allowing them women to gain access to health care would lower the number of abortions that would happen. Therefore, if you are a good Christian person, you would want everybody to have access to health care because ultimately the consequence is less abortions. Mm-hmm. But the reason that abortion has become a political figure, tell me why. Is because it never was about stopping abortions. It was about busting unions.
Oh, excuse me? No. What?
So stop for a second.
No.
This is what his mother's communist friend says. Hear him out.
So let me finish
this. It gets political.
So part of it is that in the era of Roe v. Wade, a lot of strongholds for supporting unions were in conservative Catholic families. And politicians who were really corrupt and wanted to make legislation to allow themselves to get rich, to allow corporations not to pay taxes, and so on, were looking for wedge issues. And abortion was one that worked really well of dividing Catholics, conservative working class families,
typically Democrats
to vote against their own interests. And abortion was a really good way of manipulating these people to thinking, hey, we got to stop these abortions no matter what. Unfortunately, the reality is under states like Texas and Indiana that have reduced women's access to health care, abortions go up, not down.
Okay, that's an intriguing theory, and I can see how it would kind of apply. However, there are already right-to-work states with no unions that still try to ban abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's clearly not just a union issue.
Well, it's a wedge issue that allows corrupt.
One of those things, how it started, but it's definitely spread beyond that, if that's the case. But it was designed as a wedge issue just so people would get votes.
It's a wedge issue to allow corrupt politicians who normally would not get elected to get elected and allow them to pass legislation that allows them to get rich on behalf of whoever they're weaseling money out of.
As I said, that is a very interesting theory, but you're talking.
You don't accept that theory.
I'm not denying it. I'm just saying it's an interesting theory, but it's strictly political. Mm-hmm. My approach to abortion and abortion rights is the point of view of women, the women who want to access care, the women who want to access birth control and so on and so forth. And for whatever reason, people want to stop them. And when you have people who are trying to stop women getting pregnant, stop women from having abortions, and stop them also from accessing birth control, it has nothing to do with unions. It has nothing to do with abortion. It has to do with controlling women.
And so ask yourself, why all of a sudden an interest in controlling women's bodies?
It's not all of us. Are you fucking nuts? All of a sudden?
In the sense of there's a lot of ways that we can control women's bodies. And all of a sudden, if you think about it, if you look at the history of abortion politics and the reducing people's gain and access. And if you really
heard of the Pope?
Stop. But you're interrupting me before I can finish the statement. If you're really sincere about reducing the number of abortions, if you want, why would you do this?
Because they're not.
Why would you increase the number of abortions if you really want to lower?
Because it's not about
it's not about abortions.
That's what did I just say? It's not about abortions. It's about controlling women by saying it's about punishing women for having sex. Okay, that's the bottom line. It's about punishing women. You ask any anti-choice person, well, you know, what about this woman who is 18 and in a committed relationship and then she got pregnant and then the guy left? Well, she should have thought about that before she opened her legs. It's like, well, okay, for whatever reason, maybe they used a condom and it didn't work. Doesn't matter. There's a million reasons a woman could want control of her body.
And I agree with you. Not a single one
why anyone else should have any say in it at all.
And I agree with you that it is about controlling women's bodies, but the reason that it becomes a political issue is because it allows corrupt politicians to stay in control.
Because people vote for that shit.
Yeah, because they're like, I don't want women to control their bodies. I'm going to let this corrupt politician screw me over every which way, screw my community
but
over.
I'm saving those babies.
And I'm not allowing women to have sex. Thank goodness.
Okay, yes. I'm not going to. Yes, there's a political side to it. However, I'm a lot less concerned with the political side than I am with the practical side of literally keeping screaming antis away from women.
So
that's what I do as an escort.
And so when you show up to these healthcare clinics, how does that actually work? Like, are you standing out in an umbrella? Or are you like
walking them in? We have vests. We have beautiful vests that are donated by a group called the Clinic Vest Project. Gentlemen, if any of you are so inclined, you may donate to the Clinic Vest Project. They provide vests all over the country. Anytime you see photos, you will see escorts wearing these different colored vests. That's all from Chicago. What we do is essentially distract the women. We basically go, hey, how are you? Oh, my gosh, I love that shirt. I love your shoes. Those are so great. You know what? We're just going to go on. He's saying nothing. No, you can ignore him. Don't worry about
that. How do you identify them? You just know because they're pulling up or they're walking by and you just figure it's them? Or?
Different locations have different setups. I volunteered at a couple places that had their own parking lot, and the antis are not allowed to come onto the parking lot, so they stand right outside the gates, and they try to stop cars coming in. And a lot of people, when they see somebody standing there going, you know, roll down your window, they assume it's like a parking attendant or there's some, you know, thing going on. And we have to literally, you know, I made signs that say, you don't have to stop for them. Keep moving. Come on in. By the way, I'm holding up my hands, holding a sign. You can't see that on the radio, but trust me, it's for real.
It's a big sign, Amanda.
It's a big sign.
You made it yourself.
I did. And it says, ignore them.
This must be incredibly stressful because you're
very. Yeah. That's one of the reasons I haven't done it in a couple months because I couldn't. I literally, after the Trump thing, I just couldn't for a little while. It's, you know, different people reacted to that differently. Some people got more activated and I went to a few more marches than normal, but I haven't been able to deal with it. As far as, you know, I haven't been able to confront antis who feel more empowered because they believe that somebody who's on their side, somebody who goes into a debate and says that abortion's out in the ninth month, for fuck's sake.
Well, it's a common tactic for a lot of fascist hate mongers to get people upset to the point that somebody shoves them to the side,
about
punches
a thing
them.
That doesn't happen.
What doesn't happen?
Abortions don't happen in the ninth month.
Okay, but anyways, but a lot of these, you look at Ku Klux Klan rallies, you look at like these, you know, media personalities that are like Trump advocates, but they're not involved with Trump or Republican parties. Like Ann Coulter's an example of that. Ugh. And what their tactic is to get people angry, so angry that they start lashing out at them, and then they're like, "See, I'm the victim," and by talking about them. By sort of writing an article about them, by having them on your talk show, it sort of legitimizes their platform and allows them. Ultimately, what they're seeking is a career as media personalities, talking about their victimization. They're seeking sympathy from people who are also in the fringes of society
to join their cause. I'm a poor white man, and life is so hard for me. I'm a straight white male, and I've had to work for everything that my daddy gave me.
Well, and there's a lot of people who, for wide variety of reasons, they're hurting because they've lost their jobs. They don't have access to education. They don't have access to fruits and vegetables because they live in a nutritional desert. There's a wide variety of marginalized people. And so these hate mongers, these fascist groups and individuals appeal to them because they become the victims. And so the best thing that we can do sometimes is to literally not pay attention to them, to not give them the hate that they're seeking in return.
Well, it's, you know, when you have a personality that's on television who's lost his book deal, that's one thing. But it's like Amanda's dealing with these people.
I'm dealing
like,
with literally physically.
Oh, yeah, I'm not talking about you specifically.
But it does make sense because we are telling women, ignore those them. Idiots out there. Don't pay any attention to the freaks outside the gate, is a phrase.
Don't engage them.
Well, the thing is, we tell them not to engage. But we don't have control over them. Mm-hmm. We don't engage. Mm-hmm. That's one of our rules. We escorts do not engage with the antis. But when they are literally inches away from your face and they are literally resting their little anti-choice signs on your head, trying to get you to strike back so they can go, oh, abuse or assault. Because, you know, I've witnessed it. I've seen our people literally grabbed. I've seen our people, you know, literally pulled. I've seen them pushed. Because they want us to get angry so they can press charges. They want to bring the whole thing to court so they can go in front of the whole court, in front of the whole world. Why are you on? Why are you getting on our case when there's babies being murdered?
Jane Roe.
They do that to cops.
From Roe versus Wade recently passed away.
Yes.
And she, even though the lawsuit ultimately secured women's right to vote. I'm sorry. Right,
hello, 1920. That was it.
Right to get an
19th
abortion.
19th Amendment, honey muffin. Yeah.
Roe v. Wade.
And it's being sort of like eroded in some states in this country. She never was in good shape. You said that actually she was somebody who was always on sort of the fringes of.
Yeah, my understanding is that she was never completely sane and that she may or may not have been on drugs. I don't know, and I don't pretend to speak for her. I don't, you know, I'm not going to claim to be an expert on her. I really don't. I've only really read stuff in the last few days since she passed away. But somehow the antis made her a poster girl, and, you know, which is.
Because she switched.
Because they think, because the irony is delicious.
Because she went from, you know, fighting for the right to have an abortion to saying later on that she was not for abortion.
Right. And like many anti-women, which is to say women who oppose choice or women who say they oppose abortion, but what they really oppose is women having sex. Many women who oppose choice actually had an abortion at some point in their lives. And they had a bad deal for whatever reason. They regretted it, or they were unhappy, or whatever. And so they think that they should be able to tell all women, you shouldn't have an abortion either, and we're going to make a law that says you can't.
Even though I had one.
Even though I had one, I had a choice. Mm-hmm. I regret my choice. And it's like, you know what? I had a hot dog the other day and I got so sick. I'm banning hot dogs. You can never eat one.
Mm-hmm. I read something not too long ago. And it was about people that worked at clinics, and they said that they would have women out there protesting one day. And then the next day they'd come in and get an abortion.
Don't tell my friends.
And then they'd be like, I wouldn't expect you to understand my circumstances. And that's the thing.
It's different for them.
Yeah,
it's different for them. It's I'm not like those other girls that come in here and just, you know, have abortion after abortion for birth control. I am different.
Mm-hmm. As RuPaul says, she don't already done had hers.
Anyway.
Did RuPaul say that?
That's
one of her catchphrases.
That's one of her catchphrases. Oh,
she already done had hers. you know, that's exactly correct, though. Mm-hmm. That is like, it's like, oh, well, she already done had her abortion. You don't worry about her now.
So you're saying that a lot of the stand-up comedians in Chicago, at least,
switching the subject.
Oh, yeah. Get off the abortion.
Well, you want to talk about an entire hour about standing in front of a
bouncer? I could do it for months.
You're working this stuff in your stand-up
Actually, comedy? my first set was jokes about things I have observed being an escort. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, things that I know certain people believe.
Like what?
Well, this is the bit I do, and this is 100% true. I heard a thing on the radio. It was a guy who said he was a doctor. He said he'd done an autopsy on a woman who'd been taking birth control pills her whole adult life, and that when they cut her open, they found hundreds of tiny fetus skeletons.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's bullshit. People believe this shit. That's the problem. And so my
bit... It's like Freddy Krueger's.
Right. Know? So, but my bit is that if that were true, I would sound like a box of Tic Tacs. Is that a mariachi band? Nope, it's Amanda.
So, you know, we're living in some pretty challenging times, and comedians don't want to even touch talking about fascists.
You know, it's a funny thing. A lot of comedians have talked about this because, you know, there's still political comics out there. And of course, you have, you know, the shows, you have like John Oliver being brilliant, Samantha Bee being double brilliant. A lot of the just, you know, stand-ups on the ground, as it were. If you start talking about political stuff, a lot of the audience will tune out because either they, you know, they just don't want to hear about it. They want an escape from that, or they already heard all the jokes on Facebook that day. This is a different world where, you know, jokes and news travel at the same speed. So, you know, once something stupid happens, we've all heard, hey, did you see what President Trump? Yes, we saw. We don't care.
I'm peach.
Yeah. So
I'm not orange. I'm peach.
Oh, very funny. Ah, I see what you did there. Some of us just refuse to mention his name. My favorite. Well, some people say just call him 45. I like Dolt 45. Not mine. Yeah. Not mine. Saw it on the Facebook.
Okay, that's a good one.
But I like
malt
it.
Malt so. Liquor. You got to make a joke about the malt liquor.
Dolt 40. No, just Dolt 49.
Or Scrotus. So called ruler in of the United States.
So called,
So called.
Yep, yep. I like Blotus, which is the big liar of whatever. Yeah, it doesn't matter. The point is, all of those jokes are.
Well, and you have to be careful because it's like in the city, you can tell these jokes, it'll be fine. But like, you know, there's work out in the suburbs, and a lot of those people out in the suburbs voted for Trump.
Well, that's another issue entirely that it's so divisive that unless you're really good at it, it's very difficult to do. Anything political. So whenever somebody starts talking about Trump or what, oh, I said his name. I'm sorry. Can we edit that out? Can we bleep that?
Bleep. No.
Yeah, basically all the comedians
all
I know have just talked about how it's not. Well, first of all, audiences don't like it. They want to escape. That's why they came to a comedy show. But also, it's boring for us. It's not funny to us. You know, we've heard it. We as comedians are generally very in tune with what's happening in reality in a way that a lot of people aren't. And, you know, we're all like, you know, we're watching people get censored. We're watching them go after the press. And at what point do they come after the comedians? You know,
the fake comedians,
They're
fake joke tellers,
fake jokes.
Would George Carlin today be like, I'm sick of talking about politics?
No, George Carlin would be ripping assholes left and right because he was very dedicated to social injustice. However, he was not political. He was social.
Okay.
He'd rip up both sides. He'd rip up everybody, because there's assholes on all sides. I know that. I'm the first person to tell you there's assholes on all sides. I've met them. I am one. I'm a bleeding
assholism does not discriminate.
You're convicted of assholism.
Fact, some of my best friends are racist. this is great study about racism and friendship.
And one of those things out there is like basically, you know, how people say, I'm not racist because, you know, one of my best friends is racist. And you think that that's actually going to alleviate people thinking you're not a racist. Well, guess what? It actually does. Yeah. To a certain
The actual statement is, I'm not racist because some of my best friends are black.
Yes, exactly.
Or Latino or so on.
So they did a study and had a photo with this, they showed a picture with this guy and all his friends are white, and he made a statement like disparaging Asians, you know, and then people looked at that photo, and then there was other people that looked at him in a photo where he said something disparaging about Asians, but he's photographed with Asians as his friends, you know, and so his comments seemed less racist to those people than when he had no friends.
Right, because
at all.
They can assume that he told his friend that, and his friend was okay with that.
Oh, yeah. And if you're going to tell racist jokes, the best people to tell them to are your friends that are of that race, because they're the ones that are either going to laugh or slap you.
But it depends. So here's the thing. I have many friends of many colors.
Yes.
And I have made the mistake of assuming that I was maybe close enough with one of them that I could make a joke like that. And I made the joke, and that was not smart.
Yeah, you gotta feel it out.
I made that
mistake.
Wasn't Avenue Q said everybody's a little bit racist sometimes?
Yeah, everyone's a little bit racist. And it's true, because we are humans, and those of us who process things visually, which is everyone who isn't blind, you know, you see someone who looks different from you, and a part of your brain is activated, you know, the back in the lizard part of your brain that goes, something different. What do I do? Even if obviously there's nothing you have to do, but you can't shut that down. That's why people who say, oh, I'm colorblind is bullshit.
Oh, it's
you
totally
can't
bullshit.
Be colorblind.
Well, and also too, it's like you being colorblind is not the problem with society. It's this institutionalized racism.
It is. Highly recommend
problem.
The special, the movie 13.
13?
Is it 13 or 13?
I think 13th? It's on Netflix, right?
I forget. Yeah, it's on Netflix, and it is available for free screenings now. The Netflix people say you can now have a group screening of it, and they won't have any licensing issues. Awesome. It's great. Yeah.
If someone calls you a racist, say thank you.
What?
Why?
Because it's an opportunity. Don't take it personally. It's an opportunity to grow and improve yourself as a human being and learn from your mistakes.
Depends who's calling me racist. I have a friend. I won't mention his name. We're very close in person, but online he's just a bastard. And we will get into these arguments where he basically equates all white people, all of us, mm-hmm. as exactly the same oppressive thing.
Like we're a monolithic culture.
And right. and I have on many occasions said, okay, I don't think I'm that racist. Why don't you tell me what I can do to not be racist? And he will say some weird blanket statement like, stop saying racist things. And I'll go, okay, here's the thing. Pretend for a minute. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And tell me what I've done personally that you've witnessed me do that is racist. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's never seen me do anything racist. He just assumes that as a white female, I've done certain things. So, you know, he is just as racist, in my opinion, because he's making an assumption about all white people.
What color is he, may I ask?
He is not white.
Okay.
I'm not going to go into more detail than that, but he is not white.
I just want everybody who's listening to this, next time somebody says to you, including you, Amanda, because sometimes I think you're a little defensive.
No, I told him, I didn't.
I
know, I said, thank you for telling me, what do I do now?
Right.
And he had no answer.
That's a great way to engage.
And it's not his job to give you an answer.
Well, then who's going to tell me how to not be racist?
Yeah, exactly. Well, how do you value his opinion if he can't give you constructive feedback? Now, there's this thing out there called white fragility, which I don't feel that you're suffering from because you actually asked him, what do you mean? Like, tell me what you want. Yeah. But there's people, like, when they get accused of being racist, they just flip the fuck out because, like, their whole structure of how society is put into question and they can't handle it. And so they become very, very defensive. So if somebody calls you racist and your first instinct is to become super, super defensive, you might be suffering from what's called white fragility.
You might be a redneck. Yeah.
You might suffer from white fragility if. And so that's one of those things you need and read up on it and check and you know, and get woke.
Here's the difference. If I do something and then someone says, you know, that was a racist thing you just did, I'll go, oh my God, what did I do? Thank you. Let me know. Yeah. And I won't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I'll try very hard not to do it anymore. This person, without having witnessed me doing anything, mm-hmm. was telling me I was just as racist. I'm like, I literally don't know how to change that. I don't know what you're talking about because I, you know, what have I done? What am I doing? What am I mm-hmm. change? And he didn't know because he didn't have any concrete.
Mm-hmm. It's a problem we share, and ultimately a solution has to come from everybody. And it's not for somebody who's oppressed to tell others what they can do to stop oppressing them. It's ultimately for us as a society to collectively come to a solution.
I'm sorry, but if somebody's going to tell you you're racist and you're like, what do you mean by that? Like, tell me how to stop.
What did I do?
Because sometimes they don't know the answer to that question.
But then how are they saying you're racist?
Yeah. I mean, other than general racism is like we benefit from living in a racist society. Okay. You know,
Here's an example. Okay. So two people are at a dinner table.
Sure.
And there's food on your plate and there's food on my plate. And that person across the table reaches onto your plate and takes your food. Mm-hmm. He says, this is unequal. This is unfair. I think we should split the food equally and eat it. And the other person says, but I'm hungry. I'm starving. What should I do in order to solve my problem? And you say, I don't know what the solution to this problem of starvation and hunger that makes you feel like you have to steal food from another person's plate.
Both had food on their plates.
Eat your own food. The person, it wasn't enough to feed everybody.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Can I finish the story, Amanda?
It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand your premise.
The point that I'm trying to make with the story before I get interrupted for finishing the story or the sentence is that ultimately a solution to a problem may not be evident, may not be obvious. And ultimately, it's for us collectively to come up with solutions to fight injustice, bigotry, inequality. And it's not the burden of the person suffering to come up with a solution. Moving on.
Okay. Oh, fuck you. Moving on.
Well, do you want to answer? Go ahead.
Here's the problem. Again, I deal in concretes.
Just like Ann Coulter. Westboro Baptist Church, Shirley Phelps says she's a concrete thinker.
But that just means her head is made of cement. That's different.
Yeah. Okay.
It's different. No, my point is that if, you know, if somebody says, I'm offended by what you say, you're not able to say whether or not they're offended. Because if somebody is offended, then they're offended. But if you don't know what you said that offended them or did or have been doing in your life to offend them, how can you stop? It's like, I get this a lot in editing, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you've gotten this too. Like, I'll send a file and they'll send it back.
As a graphic designer.
Like a graphic designer. Yeah. I will, you know, fix something. I'll do something and I'll send it to them for review and tell me what I need to change. And they'll just send it back and say, fix it.
I don't know why, and but I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, or they do know why and they just didn't, or they thought it was so obvious. And it's like, and I will tell them, like, what do you need me to fix? Is the headline the wrong color? Do you need it printed a different size? Just what is it? And if they can't tell me, then I can't fix it. Mm-hmm. If I literally don't know what the problem is.
So that's one solution. That's one way I approach the issue.
That's what I just said. Tell me what's wrong.
And I've found myself in that situation many times. Another way to approach the issue is sometimes the person, the graphic design customer
mm-hmm. has no clue what they want.
They don't know what they want, yeah. but they don't like what they see now.
I don't know what I want, but I don't know when to see it.
And, I know as a graphic designer, when you're in that situation, it's incredibly frustrating because that person has no ability to put into words why they don't like what it is in front of them. But they are not able to explain why, and they're not able to give you a solution.
Right. I'm talking about situations where they do know, they just didn't bother to tell me. Okay, yeah, when they don't know, yes, all you can do is throw more options at them. I get that.
Sure.
But I'm talking about literally a guy who's saying, you know, like, apparently the headline was in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And he knew that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
So when people say just fix it, you just said, be like, do you want me to put a penis on it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, fix
but
it.
Ultimately, as a graphic designer mm-hmm. and the client are both burdened equally to coming up with a good solution so the campaign or the brochure is successful and there's money to hire you again for the next project, correct?
Yes.
So
I don't know about the equal because the burden is going to like the results and stuff.
Well, if you want to continue, if you want to keep your customer business running and working so they can hire you again, it's both in your both interest
to
have the job be as successful as you can make it.
I've had clients where I literally did 20 options and none of them were right.
And that's another thing. They take advantage of that goodwill.
I fired the client.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I can't do this. And that's the situation I find myself with this guy telling me, no, you're just racist. I'm like,
you're fired.
I don't know what I'm doing. You're not going to be the one to tell me how I'm racist. I'm going to find someone who can give me examples.
So and they're not willing to how am I racist?
They're not willing to to work with you to come up with solutions.
Right. He wasn't. And I begged. I begged. Anyone can look this up on Facebook. Yeah. No, he wasn't being lazy. So he was being militant.
Mark, the study says that if you have friends of an oppressed minority group of some kind.
Mm-hmm. That's why I have gay friends.
You're not as seen as a bigoted.
That's right. So just, take lots of pictures on your Facebook profile with people that you don't have to be close friends. Just, just do like Trump does, have one black person behind you mm-hmm. and be like, there's my black people over there.
I just do like college brochures and Photoshop them all in.
Yeah, there you go. I just want to know. Say anything. People are like, she's not racist. She has stock photos of black people on her.
Right.
Maybe are we a little bit paranoid or self-conscious or aware that, in this age of a lot of connectivity, like mm-hmm. social media, that we don't have the ability to stand in front of each other like you and I are right now and come into conflict or disagree or quarrel in some ways, but ultimately be friends still at the end of the conversation.
That's the funny thing. The guy I'm describing,
yeah,
we're buddies in person, but online he just gets into these ruts. Mm-hmm. So,
he probably just says the same thing to everybody.
It's a complete, but that's just it. Being online and arguments online are a completely different thing. Whereas mm-hmm. in person, if he said in person, hey, so that was a racist thing you just did, I go, oh. Sorry,
I'll that's really why podcast. This is why podcasting will be around 20 years from now, and Facebook may not. It is day 18 now or 17 of Feast of Fun's group being yanked down.
So
What?
We had a group on, not our page, but our group. We had a page and they yanked it down, and we got some weird message. It didn't give us an opportunity to correct it instead because we had a tiny URL shortener. But I'm also discovering that other people, like if you have some, like it seems to be this random message that's coming up for other people that have had their groups yanked.
That's weird.
And another mm-hmm. thing that's happening on Facebook forums, even on Facebook's own forums, is that right wing groups, alt right groups are going around and whatever they think is liberal or whatever, they're trying to take down YouTube channels and
oh, yeah.
Facebook mm-hmm. groups, Twitter accounts. Mm-hmm. So, it's it's sort of weird because it's like they want to be these victims, but they're ultimately the ones who are going around.
Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself.
Like
stop
bullies, hitting yourself. Yeah, looking for things to attack.
I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
So the reason that I'm sort of bringing this up is like it almost makes you feel a little self-conscious. And in some jurisdictions, a lot of the smart technology, like the idea that your appliances are spying on you. Mm-hmm. There's a doll named Kayla.
Oh, God.
Who I guess has caused a lot of concern in Germany.
In Germany, she has been banned. The Federal Network Agency has told parents that they should get rid of the My Friend Kayla doll to destroy it or just disable its wireless connection because they say that it can be hacked. And what this doll is like, the kids can talk to this doll and it can talk back to them because it uses like, you know, an artificial intelligence of some sorts, or they can search things on the internet to a certain degree and they can have a conversation with this doll, but people can hack it from up to like 33 feet away and even through walls. And so people could be like telling, like having a conversation with this kid and be like, hey, go turn on the gas stove and light it, you know, blow up your apartment, that kind of stuff. Not that that would happen, but well, it, you know,
if you're less than 33 feet away, that'd be a dumb thing to do.
So, Amanda, you were telling me that there's been cases of people hacking baby monitors to try to implant subliminal messages into babies.
No, it's not subliminal at all. It's direct. I mean, there's video of this happening. There's stories of this all, you know, again, third hand online. Mm-hmm. But multiple stories of people who like will hear a weird voice in the baby's room. Will go in and the little baby monitor camera will like turn and look at them, and there'll be a voice, you know, it'll be the kind with a two-way voice, and they've heard like voices coming out of them saying things to their baby like, you're a little bitch, fuck you little bitch, I hate you, like that.
That's because
they've got remote control of these fucking wireless baby monitors, man.
And if they're spying on the babies, they're gonna be spying on you.
Isn't that the premise of the new movie Boss Baby?
No, it is the premise of 1984, though.
Oh, my God.
Is that all your TVs can watch you?
They're screening the film 1984 in independent movie theaters across the country as a political protest.
They
which version? I think they made a couple versions.
I haven't seen
the
any
sexy
version.
I
read the book.
I've seen the sexy version. It's
but
bullshit.
Even like 2 years ago, Samsung was warning people about their smart TV and that like just talking in front
and your phones
of your
and your tablets.
Yeah, they can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
We can record it.
Yep.
Hey, Kayla, can I trust you? Maybe.
I'm not real sure why the doll would need a wireless cleaner. Is it like a
Lego? So the way the doll works, I kind of start peeking in it. It's kind of like Alexa or Siri any of these kind of like smart assistants. Mm-hmm. That are not that necessarily the smartest assistant, but so you download some software, you pair it with your phone, your iOS or Android, and then you talk to it. And it's for kids basically to be like, it's a kind of a family friendly Alexa, Google, you know, so the kid can have a conversation with this device and, you know, ask her like, what kind of, you know, colors do you like? She's like, I like pink and mommy's wallet. You know, pull out the credit card and read the numbers on it.
That's sick. That's really sick.
So, you know, it's a nice idea. And definitely, I think.
No, Kayla, it's not even a nice idea.
It's fun because kids are going to still play with those Alexa things. Well, there was this one video that this little boy is like talking to Alexa and he's like going like, play, you know, some kids show or play some song, and someone's like, finding porn, you know, so, and I guess the father's Cash and Alexa sort of misunderstood the little kid's baby talk as looking for pornography.
Oh my God.
Well, that's the danger of speech recognition of any kind, is that once you're sharing it, just like, I mean, okay. I hope nobody from Hulu is listening, but I've shared my password with my mom, okay?
You're allowed to have a couple of accounts, aren't you, on there?
Sure.
Yeah, actually, I believe the family accounts is perfectly acceptable.
Well, my mom and I
don't speak for them, but...
My mom and I share a password on Hulu, which means I watch my shows, and she watches her shows, and then Hulu suggests shows based on this weird concatenation of what I watch and what my mom watches. My mom watches like Scandal and, you know, Revenge and a few shows like that. And I'm watching like Doctor Who and Rick and Morty. And then it comes up with the weirdest suggestions based on what it thinks is one person watching.
I gotta say, though, trying to watch Rick and Morty on Hulu and sitting through hours of commercials is brutal.
There's no commercials on Hulu anymore.
Well, you must have like a level of an account, because we have a Hulu account and I just sit through. Oh my God.
No, not anymore. What do you make of the? You pay for it and there's no commercials.
Okay. Oh, really?
It's over. Yeah. Oh. I have a friend of mine works at, in fact, a dear That's friend of mine who's I didn't go to the wedding, but I went to their reception. Mm-hmm. He works at Hulu and says,
no more commercials.
Okay, like two or three shows have one commercial at the beginning and one at the end because they're so popular, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and one other.
Sure, sure.
But everything else is no commercials now.
What do you make for Tilda Swinton as being the new next doctor? Nah. Is that bullshit?
False flag.
Yeah.
Fake news. Yeah.
But the bookmakers in the UK, because everybody's like, who's going to be the new doctor? And people are like, it'll be Tilda Swinton.
It's not going to be Tilda Swinton.
I don't think she has a werewolf. She does like a movie or two a year, and that's, you know.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, every time it's time to get a new doctor, and I love Capaldi, and I will miss him, not just because I have his hair. I was looking forward to cosplaying him when I
was. Does he want his hair back?
What?
Oh, your hair on your head. Yes. This is very soon.
Anyways, every time it comes around that they're looking for a new doctor, they start going, is it time for a female doctor? You know, the Missy was able to change from the Master. So we know it's possible. It's very unlikely.
You think it'll always be a dude?
I mean, and I don't mean to anger all of my gender fluid friends, but the doctor is a very masculine, male, dude, guy character. He just is. Now, he's gay friendly, but he's a man.
Wasn't he like bi curious and had sex with Captain Jack and all that shit?
Didn't have sex with Captain Jack. Captain Jack wanted to have sex with him.
His
wife, I would assume.
He had a wife?
Oh my God. What, are you new? Yeah, River Song.
Oh, that's right.
River Song, who was not a time lady, but had the same kind of time travel device that Jack had. And she could come and go as she pleased. Mm-hmm. And
they had a kid, right?
And they, River Song. Okay.
River, it's been a while.
River Song.
Okay.
Is the child of,
oh, that's right.
Amy Pond and Rory.
Yes.
But she was conceived on the TARDIS. So she may or may not have some weird TARDIS-y habits.
Ooh. Oh.
So
she's re-TARDIS.
So anyway,
another time marker there.
River Song, also known as joke. Also her real name is Melody Pond.
Yeah.
Which got mistranslated.
Oh, by the people, because they're like, by the people, because they don't have rivers.
No, they didn't have ponds. They only have rivers. I have to drink water. I'm going to choke on the idea of explaining this again.
Doctor Who is awesome. Okay, we're running out of time.
Let me finish this thought real quick.
Okay, go for it.
What the? No, I finished. Oh, okay, yeah. Melody Pond was when Amy Pond had a baby. She named it Melody, and they took it away and trained it to kill the Doctor.
That's right.
And
instead she fell in love.
No, she killed him. And then she fell in love with him.
Okay.
After she killed him?
It's complicated.
Sounds like a Pee-wee's Big Adventure when he goes into the biker bar and they're like, I say we stab him, we hang him.
I say we let him go.
I say you let me have him first, said Cassandra Peterson.
It's none of that.
I want to do a shout out to Connor Cox. Not a porn star.
No? Why not?
He's a young, handsome football player who's off in college.
Yeah.
Hi, in Connor. Pennsylvania and at Westminster College.
Hey, can I school? Give Connor some advice?
Wait, let me
get out of Pennsylvania. Okay.
So he was opening up a usual care package from his mom. Mm-hmm. And instead, his mom put in the trash that he forgot to take out.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
Thought my mom was sending me a care package, but instead she sent me a box of trash I was supposed to take out. Oh, your mom's evil.
No, brilliant. She's smart. She's brilliant.
Just like Amanda Cohen, the comedy mom.
Apparently has money to throw away, literally, if she can afford to mail trash.
Well, maybe it was light trash.
She's pretty damn cute.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
I wouldn't mind mailing him a bag of trash.
Connor Cox. Nice. Oh. Call me playa.
I want to remind folks that we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to this show is what makes this show happen.
Tomorrow on the podcast, we're going to be talking about the blurry, slippery divide that is between homosexual, bisexual, and heterosexual men, and spam sites that for a small fee will show you how to nab a straight man in the sack.
But you don't even advice have to get him in the sack. You just get him to pull his dick out and you're good to go.
Yeah, you know.
Amanda, what you got going on with you these days?
Oh, I got like a bunch of shows coming up. So Friday, in addition to what is today? Wednesday?
Yeah.
So in addition to Friday being my birthday. Thank you.
And what is that? The 26th?
That's the 24th. That is 24th. Friday. And on that day, I have a show opening for a comedian that I love very much. Her name is Rena Kalm.
Oh, I love Rena. She's been a guest on the podcast before.
Rena, I love Rena with all my heart. She was one of the first people into Chicago to say, wow, you're funny. You should come and do my show. Mm-hmm. And she's very, actually, let me do my Rena impression. Okay, that was really funny. You should come and do my show. That wasn't very good. She's not going to like that. Sorry, no. Rena. Anyway.
So I'm you're not an impressionist.
Wasn't the show we did with her is how to calm down an angry lesbian?
Was it?
No.
No.
So that show is Friday.
That was Sapna Kumar.
Yeah.
Oh, Sapna.
Sapna.
Sapna. What's Sapna? Sapna. What's Sapna? What's Sapna? Yeah, I love Sapna.
How to calm down an angry lesbian.
This is Friday.
We have no class.
Can I finish my plug?
What? What plug? Butt plugs.
My butt plug is this Friday I'm opening for Rena Kalm at Maggiano's Little Italy in Naperville. Mm. It's dinner and a show, so it's maybe a little bit pricey. And in case that is too pricey for you, you could also come to a show I'm doing on Friday. By which I mean Wednesday. Wednesday, March 1st. I got a show it's called Brew Chicago, and that's B-R-U with an umlaut.
Oh, I love umlauts. They're so goddamn sexy.
Right? Yeah. Little dots. Brew Chicago.
Like nipples right above the...
Right.
It's like tweak nipples for vowels.
So that's a show called Ego Trip Club, and that is at Brew Chicago on Wednesday, March 1st. And it's funny, I feel like I have another show. Oh, yes, I do. Hey, who's in L.A., you guys? Do we have people in L.A.?
We have L.A.
Do
we reach Venice Beach?
Does this radio station?
To Ryan, who just got engaged. Congratulations.
Hey, Ryan, congratulations.
Yeah.
So does this radio station reach that far?
It does.
Okay.
I'm trying to do like a radio station.
Very
sound.
Nice. That's good. That one.
It's more like, it's a little weaker.
If I do it, it sounds like a little goat. Little baby goat. Okay. So on Wednesday, March 9th, if you all are in L.A., I'm totally going to be in Burbank. So come over. I'm going to be at Flappers again.
Oh, my God.
It's a show called Love at First Laugh. That's L-A-F-F. It's an all-women showcase.
Oh, that's the Flappers.
So it's not funny.
Oh, that's a joke. That's not funny.
That'd be fun. No, wasn't funny either.
No, women take that.
How many feminists does it take to change a light bulb?
What's funny about that?
Yeah, thank you.
It's a ripoff of a lesbian show.
What's the difference between a pregnant lady and a light bulb?
You
can unscrew pickles. A light bulb.
Oh,
that's good. Can you work in like a feminist, vegan, anti-cruelty joke and LED light bulbs together?
How many anti-cruelty feminist vegans does it take to change a light bulb?
How many?
Fuck you, I'm not playing this game! I don't know. I have no idea.
Is it LED?
It's an LED light bulb. Yeah, I don't know. March 9th in the Yoohoo Room at Flappers. You should be there because I'm going to be there with a show produced by the lovely Grace I believe it is pronounced Fraga. That's the problem with the interwebs, is that
you don't know how to say names.
You know how to say names. But her name is Grace, and she's awesome, and she produces this show, and it will be very fun. It will be at Flappers.
So, Amanda, are you basically like getting booked for comedy gigs by swiping right on Tinder?
That's actually another joke I have in my set.
Is it?
Yeah, just about how much Tinder sucks. We talked about that. Remember how nobody uses their...
I'm banned from Tinder for changing my gender.
I think maybe if you just sign up with...
I can't because it's through Facebook. I have to create a fake Facebook.
You could... Wait, hold on.
I created a fake...
banned from Tinder for creating a fake gender. Meanwhile, I can't get guys who are married and lie about it banned from Tinder.
Yeah.
Fuck that noise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tinder is transphobic.
I'm sorry, but Tinder bites.
As a you intellectual experiment.
You have
Grindr. Listen, I got more dick than I know what to do with, honey.
Okay. But,
you know, on this TMI. Podcast, we were talking about how trans people are, discriminated in a lot of dating sites. And it was Zach Stafford, Mark, and I. All changed from male to female on Tinder, and within 24 or 48 hours, we were all banned.
And so I set up a new Facebook account with a fake thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Fake name.
And a fake name, and I had it on my phone, and then we were, like, there, and, like, I showed it to Fausto. I was showing him my fake profile. We were trying to look at something from his sister's. He's like, oh, my God, you're not friends with my sister? Well, and so he did a friend request for her, like, from my fake account, and so she reported it, and so then that got yanked, and so then I wasn't able to attach to Tinder anymore. So I'm just like, ugh.
And it happened to me.
But that's okay. I got real sick of Tinder.
Tinder's bullshit, man. And the CEO, Zach Stafford, who was on the show, I guess he got to interview the CEO of Tinder and brought it up. So he brought his account back on, you know, because so basically if we worked like for a media company where it allows us to have that little blue check mark on our social media profiles, showing that we're real celebrities, not imaginary ones, then we could sort of like petition the owners of, hookup apps where we've been banned to get our accounts reinstated.
You should work on that.
I tried. I applied for a Facebook celebrity check mark because, you know, I have like over almost 5,000 friends and the vast majority
of you have to apply for that. I just thought they were granted at some point.
And they said I was not famous enough to merit having a check mark.
We know lots of people that have less.
No, how famous do you have to be? And who decides that?
I think part of it is that you need to work for a company that has some interpersonal connections with Facebook in San Francisco. And so we don't live in San Francisco. We're in Chicago. So we don't, you know. So for all the people who listen to the show, who friend request me on Facebook, thank you. And I can't add anybody, but because I'm not able to manage.
I'm very selective with who I add.
No, but I mean, I'm saying I'm maxed out and I can't like do anything with it. It's frozen up my Facebook account.
I have a buddy who has multiple accounts on your.
It's annoying and I don't want to deal with it.
I'm just saying, you know,
this is my social media.
Yeah, Fausto already posted that to Facebook about the umlauts or nipples for vowels. Credit Mark Fillion.
You
didn't even put umlauts in there, and the people are looking. They don't even know what umlauts are.
Only you don't know how to make an umlaut on your Facebook. Are you seriously? Option you and look.
Do you want to edit it, by Mark?
Do I have to show you?
I want to remind people we've got t-shirts for sale at our store, feastoffun.com/store. Get your umlauts or nipples for vowels t-shirt. only available at Feast of Fun. And
you want to put that umlaut on umlaut?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. I didn't know that you were supposed to spell it that way.
Well, you're not, but it's you're funny. Talking about them, so it's funny.
Because people are like, don't know what an umlaut is? Google it. Umlauts are the two dots, you know, the nipples.
I think that's going to be a t-shirt that's going to sell very well.
I think so, too.
Umlauts are nipples. And then
you
have, like,
do you put nipples on it, too, or no?
Yeah, you just put a big U here. The nipples right there, and then on the back it says umlauts are.
You're making this so complicated. Sometimes things are simple.
Also, it has to light up.
Yeah. How's your mom and dad? Sorry.
They're good. Yeah. Everybody's good.
That's good.
Yeah, they had blizzards, like two back-to-back blizzards up in Massachusetts.
We escaped it,
I'm gonna say
we?
This green top you're wearing would be approved on what not to wear.
It probably would.
It's the most fashionable thing I've seen you wear in a long time.
Except for the fact that I got it at a thrift store, and they wanted me banned from thrift stores.
Oh, really? Fuck them.
I just got better at shopping at thrift stores.
Well, everybody lies on those transformation shows anyways. It's just an excuse to get free clothes.
So. No.
Well, we should do a YouTube video update and see how you're doing.
Actually, you know what? They had me sort of do that when they had
the top 10 or something, right?
No, they had their final episode. Mm-hmm. They did a big thing in Vegas. And they invited me to fly myself to Vegas. Stay one night and fly back on my own dime.
Are you kidding?
To pay your own hotel room, even?
I think they were going to provide the hotel room, which in Vegas you can do for $30. It's not a big deal. But yeah, they were going to. Oh, and
that's offensive to me that they wouldn't offer the plane ticket.
Yes, it really is. They weren't even going to do transport from the airport. And as we all know, the airport is nowhere near actual Vegas.
And you were like number three on there.
I was number three. Yeah, I was three.
So
in
they
there.
Really didn't Most care. It's like a remake. RuPaul's Drag Race reunion and forcing all the queens to pay for their own plane tickets.
Right. And then they invited me to make a video.
It's going
to
happen.
To show, like, you know, to basically they wanted a thank you video for me to go, thanks for everything. What I made was a cute little video where I go, thank you so much for these clothes. As you can see, I'm still following the rules, but, and then I opened the door to my costume room, and as you can see, I still have lots of costumes, and I had all the worst ones out and all the Hawaiian shirts. But thanks, guys. I love you, and I was very sweet. And they didn't use it. What they used were all the videos going, oh my God, you guys changed my life so much. I don't know what I would do without you, Clinton and Stacey, because all my clothes are so much better now and everyone tells me thank you so much. I didn't do that. So I didn't get on a video.
It's
kind of
like being in a sorority, basically.
Basically, yeah. Actually, you know what? Did I tell you I met another girl who was on the show?
No.
There's another, when they were doing my episode, apparently they were doing like two or three.
Multiple here in Chicago.
Right. Yeah. Well, I met one of the other girls.
During it?
No, after, like 2 or 3 years ago. And she's like, I was on a bus and she went, this is going to sound like a crazy question, but were you on What Not to Wear? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, so was I. I'm like, shut up. And we're friends on Facebook.
Did she make Stacey cry like you did?
I hope so. I don't remember. I did not see your episode because I don't watch the show. I love the show so much, but I haven't seen her episode.
I'm surprised they haven't done like a season two of Santa's in the Barn.
Santa's in the Barn?
Yeah, it was like a RuPaul's Drag Race, but instead of drag queens, it was Santa Claus.
It's on True TV. Nobody watches True TV.
Wait, like real bearded Santa Clauses?
Yeah, it was a different Santa. And our friend Tommy was on the show and all this stuff.
And then there was like Lady Santa's.
We interviewed the Pirate Santa on the show. Santa. He was great.
Oh, that's so cool. I never heard of this show. What a great Christmas reality show.
It was actually really fun.
The finale was on Christmas Eve, and you're kind of like, who's going to watch that on Christmas Eve?
Yeah,
what's wrong it was. With you people?
The last thing people want to see is multiple Santas. There's only one, and he's busy that night.
Yeah.
It was a good idea. It was just, you know, the execution.
Are they going to
do one?
Could
use a little tweaking. And unfortunately, it was one season.
Are they going to do a Mrs. Claus one? Because I have so many Mrs. Claus.
Well, you actually get hired to be Mrs. Claus.
I do get hired to be Mrs. Claus. I love it.
You bake cookies and they're like, Mommy, Danny, why is this Jewish woman?
They don't know.
No, I don't look Jewish when I wear all the. Well, maybe I do. I don't know. Don't care. Because I'm a great Mrs. Claus. Let me tell you right now. It's very fun. I have three different outfits, one of which comes off very easily.
Oh. So you're like a burlesque Mrs. Claus.
I have, in fact, done a burlesque Mrs. Claus act.
God.
It
really?
Was very well received.
You're amazing, Amanda.
I am amazing.
I'm sure it was a real gift.
Yeah, it was a gift, let me tell you. Well, I had a part of the costume was a
I
giant.
I want receipts. I want photographic evidence of this burlesque act.
I will find the video. I think I have it somewhere.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I had a giant bow on my ass that said For Santa. That was under my, cleverly hidden under my my tearaway dress. It was super fun, actually.
And the kids loved it.
And the kids loved it. No. Different show.
Guys,
different
we want to thank you guys for financially supporting this podcast. Like clean water on the faucet. It's easy sometimes to forget that it takes constant vigilance and
a lot of filtering,
action and support to make it happen. Please
also
go to,
all the pipes. Don't forget the pipes.
The pipes. Go to feastoffun.com/plus and consider becoming a member and support this podcast you love and access 12 years of amazing archives. You can hear Amanda's adventures in the past. And of course, you can consider making a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, you get your umlauts or nipples for vowels t-shirt at our store. And already has a comment. Phil says, you're adorable.
I love you,
Phil. So jealous that I managed to write it down.
Okay. That's for the record. That's Mark's joke.
It's Mark's joke.
It's Mark's joke.
And William Clark says umlaut, of course, sounding infinitely more sexy than diuresis.
Diuresis?
This is something we're going to have to Google right
yes,
now.
Yes, we are going to have to look that up.
Guys, visit our store. Get your umlauts, our nipples for vowels t-shirt available now.
Well, I found out what a diuresis is.
What is it?
I hate that word.
It's not.
Diuresis.
It sounds like, yeah, diuresis. If you eat too much Reese's, you get diuresis.
Well, it's spelled D-I-E-R-E-S-I-S. Okay, and so it is a mark placed over a vowel to indicate that it is sounded in a separate syllable, as in naive.
Oh, I know. Like the New Yorker always does that with words like coordinate.
Oh, with the
with two O's, they put that. There
and
it is.
I thought it was also called an umlaut.
It's a diuresis, but it's also two dots. But
so are diureses are like the pasties of vowels?
No, they're just like they're not as sexy as nipples. That's for sure. you can't be called diureses and be sexy.
Mm.
How about umlauts are sexier than diureses? Bye, guys.
You think you're hot diureses.